and he'll get him to preaching and saying something when he comes to the house of God. He won't get in there and try to figure out who in the world he's going to impress. He'll get in a camp meeting, he'll preach about Jesus. He'll jump up and testify about Jesus. He'll come to the altar and talk to Jesus. Amen. He'll come in a song and make us sing the songs about Jesus. You won't have to pump the choir up. You don't have to pump up a camp meeting. When Jesus is in the heart, there's worship going on. Amen. There'll be worship going on. That's our problem, friend. That's our problem. We've got some spotlessly white dressed to the ankle people that still don't know Jesus. They go to the house of God and they're perfectly right. You know, they got it all right. They're doing exactly everything they've been told to do. I got a daughter like that. But she met Jesus one night in her bedroom. She lived right, done right, spit white, and dinner. She didn't even dip when she was a girl. Amen. Amen. Yeah. But after she spent a year or so down there on that little old dock. I used to live in a lot of places. I've come preaching. I lost everything. But anyway, we used to live in a big residential area, you know, and going up the ladder, you know. You know, now I got saved and all that went. And she'd sit down there on that dock. And I'd watch her day in and day out. I'd watch her. She'd come back. She was in high school. And that's in the 80s, brother. And I kept, you know, she's going to do what dad, you know, the girls, nobody come to the house because they knew you can't do nothing at your dad's house. But when I got saved, I put a sign up on her for me and my house will serve the Lord. And that's the way it was going to be. And that's the way it ought to be. But you don't want to lose your children loving you in that time. You better be wise about it. Not compromising, but be wise. You know they had to dress right. They had to dress right and they wasn't going nowhere. You know, and the big battles were on. The battle's on. You better be real careful about them. You know what? Well, you know what got my daughter, young ladies? You know what got her? Not me taking a standard on her and saying that. She said, Dad, I couldn't stand you down there in your study praying. I'm up here in my bedroom. I couldn't stand you down there praying for me. God, save my daughter. You know, save, she was living right. And she said, one night she just bowed down by her bed. And she said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? Forgive me of my sin. Just as simple. Just said, Lord, would you save me? And she said, you know, Dad, Jesus came into my heart by the Holy Ghost. And I know all this stuff. Jesus come in. The Spirit of God moved into her heart. And you know what happened, Brother Bob? She got in love with him. She's already living the law. What she needed to do is learn how to love him. Amen. And she already knew out the law because the law was sitting in that house. You know what I mean? The law was right there. Here's the law. You know, you're going to do like that says. And this way, you know, the law was there, but she had to meet the lovely, wonderful Jesus. Amen. She had to meet that one that was what needed in her heart. She had to meet that one that fulfilled her satisfaction, help her desires, work in her heart. And when she got lonely, she'd turn to Jesus. When she got rejected, she'd turn to Jesus. When she got despised, she'd turn to Jesus. Amen. She'd turn to Jesus. You know, it got real bad too. Because she went to the school, public school, that next day with the Bible under her hand and tracts started giving to the teachers. went down that highway, down that school, the public school now. Amen. You know, she and all the rejection and everything else, she didn't ask him about, would you go come to my church? No, she said, you know Jesus? Have you ever met Jesus? Have you ever met him? Have you ever met the Lord? Have you ever met him? And the big youth revival got on at my church at Gateway at that time. Jeff Clemens was the preacher of it at that time, and he'd just been preaching about 2 or 3 years, and it went plumb through that city. They're still, these kids are still living God. They're in their 40s. Whew! Buffy's on a mission trip today, 40 years old. She got saved at 16. Stuck pretty good. I believe it's still sticking pretty good, you know. And what she's wanting to do, she's still wanting to tell people about Jesus. At 46 years old, she still wants to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Want to go tell about the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's not the message. I just like to talk about it a lot. I love to tell about those things, don't you? Don't you love to tell about the things that God does for you? Don't you love to tell people about the things the Lord has done? Has the Lord ever done anything for you? Amen. Has He ever done anything for you? I love to tell people what the Lord has done for me, don't you? I like to tell it loud, too. Amen. I like to scream it out and holler it.
I enjoyed your hollering, Brother Harvey. That was a doctor. No, you don't either. You don't know him. He was a big one. I was at a big national fellowship, and I'd preached at that, and I was down in Marianna, Florida. I got up, and I'm down all that hollering, and I wouldn't stay in the pulpit, and have pulpit manners to keep my coat buttoned. My homiletics were shot down the train. They were gone, amen. I can't help that. I'll now it's my call under one that didn't have too many good homiletics. His name was Ed Ballou. And I'm sorry that I got my terminology from him, Buzzard Buke. Amen. I'm sorry that I got that kind, but I'm glad that I got under a man of God, aren't you? I'm glad I got to one. Hey, if you want to see where the Rock of Ages began, go back to the foundation. Go back to the, I'm sorry, brother, all that slobber and everybody, it come over top of you.
Bunch down there. They had a big duct tape there, and he said, "Brother Harvey, we're going to tape that thing to you today."
I said, "Won't do no good." Amen. I've tried to be still last now. I've been preaching 30. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I have got a great message here. I mean, all the way up the road, I've had a time with it. Let's get going. Praise God. I want to preach on the grace of God. I want to preach on the grace of God. Would you turn your Bibles right fast so we can hurry to this little preliminary? At least I don't look like Dr. Joe Bryant does, you know. He gives you about, his introduction is about as good a message as his message is. He'll give you about 10 or 15 points on his introductions, you know. I told Brother Brian, I said, your introductions are better than your messages, buddy. I tell you, he gets finally gets to his message, he'll get back, you know. Has he, everybody know Dr. Bryant, you know? You know, he'll kick that leg, you know. And he's a sight, ain't he? He's a good one, too. All right. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to try to run fast. Well, I'm going to run fast. I don't know how it'll be short. That's what the problem is. I'm going to run fast. All right, let's stand, reverence the Word of God, if possible. Amen. I love to tell that. I like to talk about that. I'm sorry. I don't know why I like to talk more about my daughter getting saved than I do about my own salvation. You know what I mean? I just love to see what I talk about her getting saved, buddy. You know, because of young people. Young people. Young people. You get saved at young age. And don't think that not all of them run away. There's still some of them in it, 40-something-year-olds, still going at it, but they've learned a lot. There's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of times of crying. There's been a lot of times of failing. There's been a lot of times they'd call and I just want to quit. There's a lot of times they couldn't see the other side. There's a lot of times it comes in their life as they go up through life. They get married and they thought it was going to be hunky-dory. You know what I mean? They thought everything was going to be fine. You know, baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet. You know what I mean? A picket fence with a dog. All that junk, you know. Got to be happy, 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 happy. You can hear about our preacher, our president now. Everybody got to be happy, 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 happy. You all got junk at junk. The only way to be happy is be holy. If you want to be happy, be holy. Amen. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord, buddy. That's how you get happy. Amen. Happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. Amen. Let God correct you. He'll make you happy. Oh, He'll make you happy. Praise God. That way they don't like. They need to go to their little psychologist and somebody to tell you exactly how to be happy. I got a book to tell you how to be happy. I ain't happy, Dad. Well, get out of your sin and get right with God, you know. I ain't happy. Well, get holy. Turn that filthy thing off. Get away from the beach. Get out of sin. Watch that flesh and get it and kill it. Crucify it, amen. And see, live holy. Live holy. You'll get happy. President says, why don't everybody just be happy, 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 happy?
How in the world can we be happy when he condones a homosexual? Happy. You ain't going to be no happy America when you start giving all this stuff in. Well, I don't want to preach in that area. That's where we're in a mess. I'm glad to be an old-time Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. Aren't you glad you're saved? We used to have the shout, as Baptists did, but the charismatics took away from them. Y'all afraid to say hallelujah. Yeah, you're afraid to say it nowadays. You're afraid to get emotional. You're afraid to get emotional. I'm sorry that God wants your emotions too. Not only does he want your mind, your intellect, he wants your emotions, your heart, and then he wants your will to do his will. That's the trichotomy of a person. He wants your intellect, he wants your emotions, and he wants your will. Try all three of them and you'll get to be a Christian. I'm telling you, you'll be one that you'll be a Christian. A shouting one, a crying one, a weeping one, a jumping one, a real smart one, an intelligent one, a sound mind. You'll have a right kind of mind. You'll know how to think in this crazy generation of going people. That's how do you have a sound mind? That Bible gives me truth. That Bible puts the intellect in my mind that I might have a sound mind. I need a sound mind. Took that demoniac to his feet, put clothes on him, got at Jesus' feet, and he had a sound mind. Amen. Once you come out of sin, once God brings you out from the devil's prison and puts you at his feet, you'll have a sound mind. Amen. Now tell that to these psychologists. Message number two, and we're headed for the right one. Here we go. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, boy. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Lord, help us today. Thank you, God, for this privilege to be here with Brother John. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us all these years. Thank you, Lord, for this preacher now. He's just not beginning. He's went through things. And God, that the providence of God would allow him to come up here to this place. Lord, I pray that in the areas that he is in now, as all these men are in the same condition that is all around us in churches, trying to get the things together, trying to reach people, trying to get all this destruction and division and falling apart. Would you put us back together? Would you just give us a space of grace this week? Just a little place, Lord, that your work of grace toward us would be that we don't deserve anything. But Lord, that we'd be what we are by your grace. It's only by grace. Thank you now, God. May we do and may we preach your word. Now help us, Lord, that we'll not get away from it. Let us help us to stay with it. And God, give the message what's needed to be heard through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You sit down. Paul said, I am last. I'm the last of the apostles. I was born in a due time. You can study that out about whether or not he was the 12th one after the Judas had been out of office and he killed himself. And then we have Paul said, I'm the least of them. Brother Plemons is preaching over there in a funeral here just the other day. And he got to preaching in that funeral, buddy. And he preached a salvation message, but he got on the part about Paul said he was chief of sinners. Being chief of sinners. Son, God, he said, we're chief of sinners. We're chief of sinners. Paul said he was a chief of sinners. What a man to say that. He said, I'm least. But he said, as the grace of God upon him being the least, but also the grace of God upon him, he said, the more I labor more abundantly because of the grace of God. The only reason that I continually labor on and to keep on in the way of my age is because of the grace of God. The grace of God has got me here. The grace of God has got me home far as I go. It's not my gain. It's not my good. It's not what I've done. It's not any place at all. I've sought out for God when I first began. I thirsted for the Lord, and I preached His Word with all my heart and all my mind, and studied it and fellowshipped and prayed. But the only reason I'm standing today is the grace of God, buddy. The grace of God that I'd be here right now. The grace of God that you're even sitting here. Telling you don't deserve anything. You know mercy and grace. You know mercy and grace that you're not getting what you deserve. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Grace is God giving you something that you don't deserve. He gives you something that you don't deserve. That's grace. But mercy is you don't get what you deserve. His mercy is upon this old world right now. It's not getting what it deserves. It's not getting what it deserves. And you know what we need? We don't need to pray judgment upon it. It's already judged. You don't need to pray judgment. What do you need to pray? Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on it, Lord. In the midst of your wrath, remember mercy. You call God in prayer to tell Him, remember, how can an omnipotent, omniscient God remember anything? How can He even forget? But He said, you call Me and I'll remember it. He'll will it. He'll go back and He'll say, okay. Gives you the choice. Gives you the opportunity to call on Him to have mercy on somebody. What a privilege. You know what's so wrong with us? Is that ourself, that we're all in the matter of our determination and our judgment on it. And there ought to be a judging of it. There ought to be a judgment against it. They said, all you do is judge. Well, I know. I've got to judge you according to the Word of God. Not judge you according to this. God's judging you. Everything else. But the thing about this, I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. He's the judge. Shall the judge of all the earth do right when He's going to burn Sodom? He said, I'm the judge. What are you going to do? You want Me to stand in the midst and tell this generation that the God of heaven is going to burn it up? Yes, but what do you want Me to do about it? Pray. God will give mercy. Will give mercy. Mercy unto this bunch. Mercy unto this people. Because I'm on the way of asking God for mercy, it makes you show mercy. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy will shout over judgment, man. You'll rejoice against that judgment. You'll say, oh, you'll feel good all over because you cried for somebody else. You'd get rid of self. You'll come down for what you want. You'll say, oh God. And you'll say, man, I deserve it though, God. I deserve what they're getting. I'm no better. I'm just as bad. I deserve hell as much as anybody else. I don't understand the depths of sin and the depths of holiness. That's beyond me. Hey, they're caught in dope, drugs. They're a mess. And it grieves you, don't it? Wouldn't grieve you if you was part of it. Oh, you'd be just like that other bunch. You'd be out there trying to steal and get and drain and do everything else. You'd be doing the same. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I'd be right there among that. I'd be going right down the road. I'd be going down the road. Ain't no way. I'll touch one. Well, I don't have any points. Yeah, that's not on the introduction. I reckon you know that, don't you? All I had was those little three things. Three things that I've learned down through the times as far as grace. Saving grace, living grace, and dying grace. That's the whole thing of life. Saving grace, living grace, and dying grace. And you receive grace through all those three. Those three is first I want to start with saving grace. Turn to Exodus, please, fast. Turn to Exodus. I want to start with saving grace. And you were found. Grace was found. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Noah found grace. I'm in Exodus now. Now you say you're talking about Noah. I'm in Exodus. Don't worry about it. We're in Exodus. I just throw Noah in there if he found grace. All right. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Here we find this that found grace in his sight. You'll find it five times in Exodus 33. You'll find it in verse 13 or verse 12. You'll find it in 13, two times in 13. Then you'll find it in 16 and 17. Five times you find grace was found in his sight. I have found grace in thy sight. I have found grace in thy sight. Five times. That's the number of what? Grace. That's the number of grace. I have found grace in thy sight. I want to say that you find saving grace in the sight of God, it will show your position. Okay? Saving grace will show your position. First, I want to see verse 13, so I got to hurry. Show me now thy way. Show me thy way, that what? I know thee. That I may know thee. That what? My presence will go with thee. The presence of God will go with thee. Now, I know Moses is talking to him about that going up, you know, and the Lord be with him. But I want you to think on this area about saving grace. Verse says, show me now thy grace way. Show me the way of grace. Show me the grace way of saving. The saving grace. Show me the grace way that I what? May know thee. Hey, I'm glad it's a know-so thing. You know what I mean? I know thee, that I may know thee, and that what? Thy presence be with me. Amen. I'm talking about getting saved. Amen. When you get saved, show me the way of getting saved by grace through faith. Show me that grace way. I want to know the grace way. And why did I know the grace way? That I might know thee. Hey, bro, I want to let you know something. When you get saved, you'll know it. I say you'll know it. You will know it. Amen. You'll know somebody came into your life. I'm not talking about you'll know it intellectually. You won't know everything that happened to you. You'll learn about it through the Bible, about what took place in your life. But you'll know something happened. Somebody came in. You'll know it. You'll know it. Amen. You'll know it. Amen. You'll know it. So first, the grace way that I may know thy presence. Then the grace way is that the people will know that I know. Look at it. He said, verse 16, that it be known that we are your people. I found grace in thy sight. We're separated people. Amen. Somebody else said, what happened to you? I got saved. That the people might know that you are His people. That you're His. Saving grace. You know, and I tell you, it's not a matter of where you put a dress on, what you're going to do. It's not a matter of where you quit going to the bars. It's not a matter of where you quit all that stuff and don't do it no more. It's a matter, listen to me, of you realizing the grace of God. God saving you, buddy. I mean, grace, 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 more grace. God saving you by His grace. Amen. You don't deserve to be saved. Amen. You don't deserve a thing. Amen. He would reach down to where you're at. He would bring you out of sin. He would bend His love in your heart. He would be your friend. His presence would be with you. What greater thing than His presence? You got some kids as lost as a goose. I preached in a youth thing one time years ago at Dr. O'Malley's church when he was pastoring on the prodigal in the pew. They're sitting in the pew wishing they were out there. Sitting in the pew wanting to be out there. They're sitting there all day, just wished I was out there. Oh, so-and-so called me the other day. They're down there partying. You know, we can't. We got to go to church. You know, I got to be up here at the church. I got to be there. You know, you don't want to. You don't want to. Some of those preachers don't want to every once in a while. You know,
you don't want to go either sometimes. It's like that woman. She went out to her husband, you know. He landed her and said, "You going to church today?" He said, "No, I ain't going." And she said, "Well, I'm going to go. So aren't you going to go?" He said, "I want you to tell me one reason why I need to go." She said, "You're the pastor." Yes, somebody, you're a preacher, brother. Some of us don't, not a preacher. Well, it's just as bad for you too, amen. I mean, sometimes you just don't want to go. Why? Just the old flesh sitting there saying, "I don't want to go. I'm tired. I know what's tired. Your flesh is tired. Your flesh is tired. Well, what's going to happen if I go on? Now, God might meet you down there for sacrificing. God might be there when you get there because you made that effort to get there. You say, okay, Lord, you come in there and you say, bless me now, Lord, and you're in trouble again. You're in trouble again. You come in there to bless Him to bless you. What you do, you come in here and you come in there by faith and you say, I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I'm weary and everything today, but I just want to stand up, preacher, and tell them. Now these reserved preachers, like Brother Patton, all, you know, I love it though, brother. Don't you, okay? That's what some of these fellows need. They need that way. Some of them all, I don't know. Be no, amen, sister. I've heard. You don't believe it. I'm just saving. And you would, I'll just preach on saving grace. Saving grace, because they'll say, if saving grace in the position, so if I don't get to living grace in afflictions, and then dying grace in your transition. Son. But he ain't going to get there, brother. I can't get past saving grace. I can't get. Hey, the grace way is to know His presence. The powerful way is that the people might know there's a power. There's a power in your life as you show the grace of God. You know, people say, "You know, you're still going. You're still going. Are you still at it, buddy? Are you still at it? You still act like a Tennessee tornado. You still jump around screaming. I'm going toward 70 now. I'm 67 years old, brother. And I'm young boys." I said, "I can still hang in there with you, buddy. You need to go down to Brother Fraser's church. You get run over, bud. That's the awfulest bunch I ever seen in my life, man. You can't even sing. You start singing, and they can preach too, and they know that Bible too. Just check them out and see if they don't know that Bible. And they love souls, and they get on the streets, and they take the flags up and down that street down there, and they get out there on the corner and preach Jesus. And go on, and just go on and preach up a storm. They testify, and they'll testify about Jesus." But they do this crazy thing. You don't have to strike up a song about six of them will run over you. You know, and me and old brother, we just sit there. You just sit there when you go, just get out of the way. That's going to hit you. You know, here he comes, you know. And they'll go around through there, you know. And you say, "Well, there's one of them in there. I know how his life is." Well, his life is telling on him. That don't mean that you should criticize that shouting. Don't start criticizing the shouting. It's right. You know how he lives. I don't care how he lives. That ain't what I'm talking about. That's not the point of it. You don't measure what God says for you to do by what somebody else is doing. God says to do it. You sit there in criticism and look at your Pharisee. That's all you are. You're examining him, you know. See whether or not they're doing what they ought to be doing, you know. He ain't living the life he ain't living. Well, I guarantee you, if he don't live the life he ain't doing, his testimony ain't going to do nothing. He can't preach. He won't have no power. He won't have no power because of his testimony, because of the way how he lives. If you're going to preach it, you better live it. Amen. I used to tell him, and you better live it. You're talking about we need holy men. That a brother Goosby told me a while ago. He said, "Brother, men of God are living in sin. It's unbelievable what they're doing behind the doors. It's unbelievable what preachers are doing behind the doors nowadays. You don't know that." That's what God was saying to those Pharisees. He said, "Do what they say, not what they do." The reason they walked away from that woman in adultery is their conscience. They still had a conscience. From the oldest to the youngest, "Ye without sin among you first cast a stone at her." And they started leaving her. Yeah, he knew their hearts, didn't he? They had a consciousness of what they were. Thank God. You know, some in this world don't have no consciousness of sin no more. That seared conscience. It's like these kids right now walking around on the streets half naked all the time. They don't have no consciousness of it. They don't even think nothing about it. You go up to a little old girl now, 12 years old, she's half naked, she don't think nothing about it. She don't think nothing about it. And I'm telling you what, we're so calloused, we don't think nothing about it nowadays. We've seen it so much, it bothers us. You know where we see it? On that stinking television. That's where you see it all the time. You know why also your mind's so confused about the way of God and the things of God? You listen to the news more than you do that book. Oh, yeah. You don't see what the politicians or Fox News got to say. You don't understand what God's got to say about it. I examine it through the book, buddy. You want me to show you that man? I said, here he is, right here. You want to see the Antichrist? Right here he is in Daniel. You want to see this fella? Right here he is in Daniel. You want to understand about life and about the rights and principles of life and how to live right and why you ought to live godly? Right here in the book of Proverbs. Right here in the book of Ecclesiastes. You want to understand how to talk to a kid about a home? Right here in this book. Right here in this book. Right here in this book. Amen. You know where you learn the book at? Sunday school. Church. Come to the house of God. Quote scriptures, teach them the word of God, and the preacher gets up there and preaches. That's the life that we're avoiding, starting charismatic churches and everything in the world around here. Entertainment, drums, all kinds of music. Unbelievable. You better not pull that music. It's sensual. It's so loud, you better believe it. The old hymns of faith. Well, I see, I told you I wouldn't get past saving grace. I get practical. People know you got power. But then God will know that He knows you. Verse 17. That you found grace, that you found grace, and that He said, and I know thee. I know thee. Well, how does He know you? He calls you by name. He knows my name. He calls me by name. You want to talk about saving grace? He called you by name. And when He walked through that garden and Mary was there weeping over Him being gone, then she said, and He turned around, she turned around and she thought Jesus was the gardener. And she said, Rabboni, and He said, why weepest thou, woman? Why weepest thou, woman? And He said, they've taken Him and I don't know where He's at. And He turned around at her and He said, Mary, son. She turned around. Jesus, she knew Him calling her name, buddy. He called her name. Jesus, has He ever called your name? Have you ever been alone? And all of a sudden, it's just like an audible voice. And He says, Donnie, I say, yes, Lord, I need to hear you. And all of a sudden, that small voice, that voice is not audible, will say your name. And you say, how that I know that I have grace, that He shows you that He knows you by calling your name. Amen. Saving grace. Talk about something now. Not repeat after me. 1, 2, 3. Repeat after me. I'm not talking about you coming up here and crying, weeping over your sin, over the sin of your own life. Worldly sorrow, work of death. Godly sorrow, work of repentance, not to be repented of. That means not to be regretted. Brother, I don't regret the day that I repented of anything to you. The day that God granted me repentance and I turned away from something, that was a happy day. Happy, 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 boy. I got happy, 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 happy. Amen. When I don't regret a day that God let me repent and I turned to repent. God's got to put you there too, buddy. God grants repentance, Timothy says. God, foes opposing themselves, if God peradventure will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. They're taken snared by the devil. Well, I'll tell you, what are you going to do, Brother Harvey? Well, I was going this way. Saving grace got a hold of me. I repented and turned to God. I turned to Jesus. I turned to Jesus. And then I started following Jesus. I was following Jesus. And guess what? All the way down through this life following Jesus, I'm going to have to repent
because I'm going to sin. If any man saith he hath no sin, he deceiveth himself, and the truth is not in him. What them sinless perfection people do with that anyway? How in the world can they handle that? And if he says he has no sin, that's what they say. They're sinlessly perfect. How in the world can do that? If he says he has no sin, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. And the truth is not in him. Woo! And the truth is not in him. The truth shall make you free, and you'll be free indeed. The Word of God, the truth of God's Word is what sets you free. It'll make you soar. It'll make you fly. It'll make you get above all the things. The truth of God will get the captivity of your mind. He'll take care of that thing that's got your mind captive. That truth will set you free. It'll set you free, buddy. Hey, I'm not going to get past that saving grace. We're going to, man, I've done been going 30 minutes. Grace way is that you know His presence. The people will know your power, His power in your life, the grace. And then God will let you know that He knows by calling your name. The grace. I'm saying my name's recorded, you know what I mean? It was written in blood, dude. And it'll never be taken out. I cannot lose something God gave me. I can't lose that. There ain't no way. There ain't nothing I can do to make me lost. There ain't anything I can do. After I get saved, after saving grace has taken me and grace has found me and grace has brought me up and I got saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I'm eternally, forever saved. I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. I'm kept by the power of God. I get forgiveness of sin by the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus is where I get forgiveness. Not in the ritualism. Not in the mythology. Not in anything of this world. I get forgiveness by the blood. By the blood. Amen. I get the power by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He empowers me. He's the power in my life. I'm kept by the Holy Ghost. You can't do nothing without the Holy Ghost, buddy. You can't live it. You can't walk it without the Spirit of God. And I'm sorry, young people, you just met the Tennessee tornado. I've been like this for 30-something years, and I don't want to get over it. You understand? I don't want to get over it. I'm going to stay in the old-time way. I'm a preaching you doctrine. Am I not teaching you the doctrine just as much as anything else? I'm a preaching you doctrine. I'm not a hacking and hollering and screaming and sweating. And you know, I'm getting close, but I get close, amen. I was preaching on the radio one day. Them twins, Bonnie Cooley. I come over to see her dad and them twin boys. Great preachers, ain't they? I went over to my sister. Bonnie comes over. She's never wore anything but a dress all her life. And they never one of them got above her ankles or below her wrist or below her neck. Try that on. And she's the sweetest thing walking on. I come knocking on the door. I got on that radio and I'm what the old field kid called like a wind sucker. You know, I got to preaching so fast I had to suck wind. I was going on and I was sucking wind. I couldn't get enough wind and get enough breath to get it all out. And I had to say it fast. Why? Because I had too much to say. I don't know how in the world a preacher don't have something to preach. I mean, I can't figure that out. I mean, you ain't got nothing to preach. I said, Brother Harvey, you got anything to preach? I got 66 books, bud. Let me go. I got 66 books, buddy. I knocked on the door. She come to the door. She looked through the screen there and said, Oh, Brother Harvey, you caught me praying. Tears run down her eye. I said, I just want to see Mark, Sister Bonnie. She said, I know that. And so we started fellowshipping. And she said, this, I nicknamed her. And you don't give me a little helmet, I might put a nickname on you. You know what I mean? So just to rib them every once in a while. She said, Oh, Brother Harvey, you almost hacked today. She's listening to me on the radio. Now, she don't get no louder than that, brother. And she gets up and God come all over that place. I mean, God will just walk all over that place. The old body gets up. Brother Jones, I want to sing about
Jesus passed by. And she'll sing, son. And everybody just, you know, and she'll sing. You know, they just, you know. And so I nicknamed her Hackahoo. I said, hello, Hackahoo. You know, and oh, Brother Harvey. You said, that's what she, Brother Harvey, you know. Grace. That's grace. And I got a message on the gowns, had a grace, a gown of grace. That was absent. That was whose mama? Well, let me jump and run another rabbit. Let me get out of here, Brother Rat. Let me finish up. I got to finish on grace. You really want to hear about the afflictions, but anyway. God knows that. Then he said in verse 18, show me thy glory. Show me my glory. How does God let you know that as grace has passed by you, he'll reveal his glory to you? Son, he'll reveal his glory to you. All of them there. Let's look at them real fast. He said, I will make all my goodness. Verse 18, all my goodness, what passed by thee, I will proclaim my name. Amen. Saving grace now. Saving, I proclaim my name. And I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. And I'm not a sovereign grace people. Understand about that of the grace of the elect. I will be gracious. That's over in Romans. You understand the potter and the clay and all that stuff, you know. All right. So you kids don't know what I'm talking about, but some of these men do. Anyway, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said at the end of that, but you can't see my face. Verse 21. If any man see my face, he'll die. You not see my face. But I'm going to pass by you. I'm going to pass by you. There is a place for grace. There is a position for grace. There is a place for grace. I'm talking about the position of saving grace. There is a place, and where's it at? He said, it's by me. Amen. It's by me. That's where it's at. Where is that place of grace? He said, it's right by me. Amen. It's right by me. That's where grace is at. Where is this place of grace? It's right by me, buddy. Not only is grace is where you be, it's by Him and His presence. It's not only that it's grace that in it by His presence, but there, I'm going to use the word power again. He said, you'll stand on the rock. Grace to make you stand, buddy. Grace to make you stand. You're going to stand on the rock. Amen. How am I going to stand? I'm going to stand on the rock. Who's this rock? This rock is Jesus. Amen. He's the rock. Amen. Grace says, I'm going to give you a place, a position. Where's it going to be? It's going to be right by me. That's going to be my presence. It's going to be my presence. Well, what else are you going to do? I'm going to make you stand on the rock. That'll be my power. That'll be my power. Grace and power. Grace and power. You'll stand on the rock. I'm about done. Well, I have this first point. He said, what are you going to do with me? Well, I'm going to take you and put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. That typifies peace. You ever seen that picture of that bird sitting inside that cleft of the rock, just sitting there singing up a storm? Peace like a river. Grace. I'm going to put you in. Look, he said, I'm going to put you there. Son. You can't climb up there. You ain't got enough climbing gear to do it. What's that? I don't need to be telling no jokes. I done got reproved of that stuff. You preachers do it. Tell jokes. So this is the joke of this bunch. This is the joke of this bunch I ever seen nowadays. I hear you, Brother Raines. Yeah. You know what you do? You go, amen, Brother Raines. Amen, buddy. He puts you in the cleft. He will put you there to give you a place of peace. Grace
put you in the cleft of the rock. Then grace will take His hand and cover you. So He'll cover you over there. He protects you, buddy. He protects you. Grace protects you, buddy. Grace is what keeps you from dying. Grace is what it is. Now I'll give this as an example, an illustration of it. When I was in Vietnam, I was a soldier, I was a ranger. Vietnam, I was the 2nd, 16, eat the rangers. And I fought in there. But as I was over there many times in conflict in those places, and one night I was sitting on the foxhole outside and we was going to get hit and all that stuff, you know, and I was sitting on that foxhole and on a mortar pit because I was a mortar man. And I was sitting on that mortar pit and I was looking up and I looked up at the moon. I was lost. I was 19 years old and I was a soldier and I was mean. I was crazy. I was, you don't want to know the mind of a soldier. You're going to have to understand that these psychologists are going to destroy them, buddy. If we don't get a hold of our young people and our young men and teach them exactly about what's taking place in their mind according to the Word of God, not according to humanism or psychology. They need to understand what's going on in their mind according to that book. God made them. God created them. And He's the only one that can tell what's wrong with them. Amen. You know that word sorcery over there is drugs, don't you? I was sitting there and I looked up at that moon. I didn't think nothing about it. I just looked up at it. 10 years, maybe 15 years later, I was sitting in the Herman Baptist Tabernacle and I'll just leave this. Okay, I'm going to fix it. Say something. So don't, if you've got any kind of opinions there, just dismiss your opinions of this fella and go on and get the point, okay? Just get the point and dismiss your opinions of this man, all right? Or whatever it might be. You might have good ones. I don't know. Phil Kidd was preaching. Aha! Boy, that mind went inward. You breathed it up. And then went inward. All of a sudden, that just changed your thinking, didn't it? Just get the point, okay? Just get the point. Yeah. All right. Here we go. We're going now. And he was talking his testimony that Friday night, and he was talking about as he was on the streets, and this little girl ran out in front of him. He was running from this gang, and they were shooting at him. And as he did, this little girl ran out in front behind him, and the bullet hit her and killed her. And he said he just kept getting it and didn't think nothing about it. He's lost. And he said, and he started crying. This is back a long time ago, you know, when he first began. Back in those days, you know, when it was right, you know, it was good. Went away. And he started saying, he started crying. He said, that little girl took my bullet. And then he really hit home. He said, Jesus took your bullet. Jesus took your bullet. You deserve to die. And I was sitting there, brother, patting off. And the Holy Ghost said, you remember that night in Vietnam at Quan Loi, War Zone C, Cambodian border? And you looked up at me. He said, I was looking down at you. And it was mercy you didn't die that night. It was the mercies of God you didn't die that night. Son, you talk about crying. And you talk about acting like a tornado, buddy. You talk about acting, I mean, clamorously foolish. That's what praise is. To act, to rant and to rave and to act clamorously foolish. Look it up in your Strong's. That's what praise is. To rant and to rave and to act clamorously foolish. I demonstrated it, buddy. I demonstrated it. I just jumped and shout in my heart. I just having flips all in my heart. That ain't what that definition says. It don't say have flips and jumps in your heart. No, it says to rant and to rave and to act clamorously foolish. Clamorously. You got no babies asleep, have we? All of them, not with me, I guarantee
you.
Is that a pretty good demonstration? That's pretty close, wasn't it? You ever seen a young lady get like that? I've seen them get like that, buddy. I mean, you say, oh my, she's schizophrenic or whatever. My goodness, you know, whatever her problem is, she's got a mental problem. Somehow the grace was shown to her. She said, I deserved it, and I ought to went to hell. I deserved everything. I should have died that night, but mercy, mercy, let me live on mercy. Let me go on mercy, amen. As I passed, I'll quit on this, and as I passed through this life, I've seen the grace of God, but I wanted to know the glory of God. I wanted to see the glory of God. He passed by. He put me in a rock in the cliff. He gave me peace in my life. He gave me power to live, but amen. It also says, I will reveal my glory to you. Amen. I'll pass by. You can't see my face, you'll die. You can't see my face, but I'll let you look at the hiding parts. I've been watching him all the way down through here. I've been watching his glory. I've been watching his glory. I want to see the glory again upon the tabernacle. I want to see the glory, Brother John, again that we experience, brother. I want to see the glory for our young people to see the glory. Amen. Saving grace, you ever been saved? I'm not talking about some kind of stinking profession. I'm not talking about how you're going to do better. Have you ever experienced the goodness of God? What He done for you? The grace of God. You give me a testimony of your salvation. Well, I remember that day I quit going here and I quit doing this and I started going to church and I started doing this and I started doing that. Hogwash, buzzard.
Yeah.
And there's some of that. Some of you, they're so starchily religious, it's pitiful. I mean, you have been perfect all your life. That won't get you to heaven! Well, what's going to get me to heaven? When you experience the grace of God. It's an experience with a person. That's why we have dead services, friend. That's why they're dead or in 4 o'clock you go to churches. They're full of dead people. I mean dead. 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 They need to be quicker. Made alive. I have recited the catechisms. And I have been coming to, you know, and our church is very knowledgeable. And we have some of the greatest teachers there is. And we can take this Bible and take it, and they don't really care which Bible. They really don't care which Bible. Oh, I lied, didn't I? I'm good about that. It's been 40 minutes. Saving grace. That song leader come? Could I give an invitation? Give an invitation. Come on up and let's take a song. Everyone stand. The first thing the grace way is His presence. His presence. You think there'll be tears? I believe there'll be tears. I believe there'll be tears. It might not be specifically one thing you'll be weeping over, but the Holy Ghost will make you weep. Yes, He will. When He comes into the presence, everyone you know, when God gets in the presence, your tears flow like a river. And it won't be no mean message. Most people are making them cry because of being mean to them. I hadn't been mean to you at all day, have I? They say I'm a mean preacher. That's what I'm known to be, is a mean preacher. I ain't saying anything mean at all now. You'll experience the presence of somebody that you've been longing for a long time. So the best thing you'll ever happen, boy, when He gets in there. And then when you go through life and grace, it'll give you the power. You'll experience the power you need. And then as it passes by, as grace passes by, as you go on down through life, you will experience His glory. You'll see His glory. Have you ever been saved? What are we singing, brother? Well, I'll let him sing one, "Just As I Am." That's an old song. Yes. I am what I am by the grace of God. Go ahead and sing, brother.